Thank you, Joelle. And thank all the powers that be that Uchechi is back with us safe. I'm smart. It's really relieved. It's been a hell of a summer. So I have a bunch of stuff I want to share with you. And I'm going to start with a poem called After Reading the Number One Intellectual American Bestseller Future Shock, All About Changes Where We're At. Well, number two, baby, is that change ain't nowhere you can hold on. Now read that. Now read on, gone, Eddie gone, Greg gone, Julius, Millen, Peter, Alice, Francis, Terry gone, aunt, uncle, cousins, niece and nephew, father, mother, son, gone, gone, Dale, Primus, Clarence, Ross, gone, gone, damn. Don't give me no garbage about this is the future, speed up, travel, turn around, make it mobile, hit the road. Shit, I'm just tired saying goodbye. I lost a beloved friend and lover this summer. She died on July 27th. And she was killed, actually, by Operation Rescue. She was one of five abortion providers in Wisconsin. And what are there, 12 left in the country. And her name was Dr. Elizabeth Ann Carlin. I'd like to read two poems in her memory and dedicate this reading to her. The first one is called The End of Kindness. Poem for Dr. Elizabeth Ann Carlin. Boys choosing birthday balloons, a couple selecting condoms for Sunday afternoon, a woman waiting for the traffic so she can't turn left or right, Liam taking his first step, his mother's predictable delight, Walter washing his truck. There was no luck with the peace lily plant for the doctor dying of brain tumor, the doctor trying to die. In Wisconsin, they had to send away for the little plant, the peace lily I sent, because I meant it to sit beside the morphine drip, to reinforce her will to let life slip free from the clutch of that disease that saw intelligence and speech become impossible or silly. She who was always kind could not in death agree to cruelty, to sorrow longer than the mind can comprehend. She is choosing now to end her own death with her own breath. I grow numb with grief and think perhaps I follow dumb with love. And then a kitchen knife by accident cuts up my thumb, and I feel it, feel that pain, that ironic welcome gain. I am still here, still clear about what hurts, what really hurts, and what does not. Holding to all pain, I remain faithful to the one who let pain go. And this is poem for Annie Topham, partner of Dr. Elizabeth Ann Carlin. As you know, I loved her too, and that was not so long ago. I will forget the laughter or the mock fights that came after tears, mosquito bites, and bike rides through the wildly blooming arboretum. I loved her too, the woman who loved you, the woman you sleep next to on a makeshift cot, the makeshift lot of the beloved one who listens to the rattling last encounter with the future and the past as useless sunlight glistens on the useless world beyond that final gloom of light. Oh, bright grief beyond belief, beyond relief. I loved her too, as now it is my privilege to love you, now I love you, now, forever, for love's sake. Well, I understand from the United States government that from now on, if anybody anywhere harbors a terrorist, they gonna bomb the shit out of you. So, starting with Oklahoma City, y'all better look out. And then every single headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan and Aryan Nation and everybody else targeting Jews and black folks, so-called queers, because we're here. All of you purification cadres, you know who I'm talking about? The terrorists, you gonna be bombed. And gosh, you ready for that? You gonna be bombed. Because you terrorists. That's why. And Operation Rescue and everybody, all those killer clowns closed down the abortion clinics and threatened the life of Dr. Elizabeth Ann Carlin day in and day out. You're going to be bombed. Terrorists. Going to be bombed. But there's so much going on in Washington. So I thought I'd start with a poem called Poem on Moral Leadership as a Political Dilemma. I don't know why, but I cannot tell a lie. I chopped down a cherry tree. I did that. Yes, sirree. I chopped down a cherry tree. And to tell you the truth, see, that was only in the morning, which left a whole day and part of an evening until supper time to continue doing what I like to do about cherry trees, which is to chop them down. Then pick the cherries and roll them into a cherry pie circle, and then stomp the cherries, stomp them, jumping up and down, hard and heavy, jumping up to stomp them so the flesh leaks and the juice runs loose. And then I get the pits, or else I pick up the cherry pits depending on my mood. And then I fill my mouth completely full of cherry pits and run over to the river, the Potomac, where I spit the cherry pits. 47 to 65 cherry pits spit into the Potomac at one spit. And to tell you the truth some more, if I ever see a cherry tree standing around, no matter where, and here let me please be perfectly clear, no matter where I see a cherry tree standing around, even if it belongs to a middle American, it means with a two-car family that is falling apart and a respectable, civilized falling apart, mind your manners, manner, even then, or even if you happen to be corporate rich or unspeakably poor or famous or fashionably thin or comfortably fat or even as peculiar as misguided as a Democrat or even a Democrat, even then, see, if you have a cherry tree and I see it, I will chop that cherry tree down, stomp the cherries, fill my mouth completely with the pits to spit them into the Potomac, and I don't know why it is that I cannot tell a lie, but that's the truth. And then this poem is just today, poem on sexual hysteria and sexual hypocrisy. Delilah want more information about inappropriate or appropriate relations. She scowl. She prowl through big book, don't say diddly squat about that woman or this man seem like never remember nobody's name. Delilah shakes she dreadlock head. How come, or who come, or what's up, or who's down? And why she have to hear about two overgrown libidinous dogs doing or not doing whatever dogs do? Delilah, take that back. Dogs do not forget. Dogs do not feel regret. Dogs do not flirt in or with a miniskirt. Dogs do not seek and hide no kind of pleasure. Dogs do not treasure the evidence of some old bone. Dogs tell nosy people go to hell. Dogs do not wait until everything's too late. Dogs moving right along where dogs belong with other dogs. Dogs do not carry on appropriate or inappropriate relationships. So, Delilah clear about dog. But she confounded by two overgrown, libidinous homo saps who allow a public prostitution, who permit a public prosecution of their private jive and jam, because truly she do not give a damn. Because Delilah know Delilah ain't about to go on no stupid star trip ever. Oh dear. I think I gotta read one for, Did you hear Clarence Thomas complaining this summer? He feels so picked on. You know? I mean, there are a lot of colored people out here don't talk right about that man. Have you noticed that? So I said, well, I think I wrote him a poem. I don't think I'd, you know, forget about him totally. I mean, he's still here doing what he does on the court there. And I came across again that I had written for him, and I hope he can hear this some kind of way. Maybe his brother Ward Connolly could let him know, you know, that, that's what's going on here on the Bay Area. This is a letter to Mrs. Virginia Thomas, wife of what's-his-name, lamentably appointed to the Supreme Court USA, who is the brother of, you know, who's he, what's his, the man with the fractional identity. Anyway, I won't get into that. And, no, everybody's entitled to their complexity. But you know, when you add up this fraction and that fraction and this fraction and that fraction, and you're talking about Ward Connolly, you end up with a fool. I mean, what's the point of the complexity? I mean, what's the point? But anyway, this is a letter to Virginia Thomas, as I was saying. And I really, you know, I was surprised that Clarence felt that way. And here I thought I hated him. I mean, I thought that he was loathsome to the nth degree. I saw him as some kind of clown, a first-class colored fool, an Uncle Tom, a peeping Tom, a creepy, eager, pornographic Tom, a hypocrite, a liar, and a fake, a black man, a mediocre mediocrity of apple-polished, brown-nosed, cutthroat, and an insult to his elders, a menace to his peers, a hazard to the under 17, a joke, a serious mistake, a cynical disjuncture between race and history, a cruel interlocutor between the needy and relief, a bullet to the family, a bully to the female, a pietistic turncoat and a trivializing renegade, a jerk, a cornball hustler and a trifle count crocodile, a sacrilegious opportunist and a hitman for the pitiless. But I'm completely off the track. mistaken, out of line and off the wall, it seems, which brings me to this letter I must write to you. I write to thank you for your revelation. I declare, I don't know how the truth escaped my understanding. I can't explain the blindness that concealed the facts from me. But suddenly, I looked at you and Clarence as two pods in a poke or two pigs in a pea or whatever on the cover of People magazine, and things just clicked. They really did. I mean, like, click. I realize you're right, and I've been dense and dumb and big time into criminal denial, see, because I probably was, as you say, probably I was in love with Clarence. Probably I lusted after him, your husband. Yes, I guess I probably did. And here I thought I hated him. But then you never know. Sometimes it's awful hard to tell now, isn't it? You never know. Moving towards home. Where is Abi, she wailed. Who will bring me my loved one? I do not wish to speak about the bulldozer and the red dirt not quite covering all of the arms and legs. Nor do I wish to speak about the night-long screams that reached the observation posts where soldiers lounged about. Nor do I wish to speak about the woman who shoved her baby into the stranger's hands before she was led away. Nor do I wish to speak about the father whose sons were shot through the head while they slit his own throat before the eyes of his wife. Nor do I wish to speak about the army that lit continuous flares into the darkness so that the others could see the backs of their victims lined against the wall. Nor do I wish to speak about the piled up bodies and the stench that will not float. Nor do I wish to speak about the nurse again and again raped before they murdered her on the hospital floor. Nor do I wish to speak about the rattling bullets that did not halt on that keening trajectory. Nor do I wish to speak about the pounding of the doors and the breaking of windows and the hauling of families into the world of the dead. I do not wish to speak about the bulldozer and the red dirt not quite covering all of the arms and legs. I do not wish to speak about unspeakable events that must follow from those who dare to purify a people, those who dare to exterminate a people, those who dare to describe human beings as beasts with two legs, those who dare to mop up, to tighten the noose, to step up the military pressure, to ring around civilian streets with tanks, those who dare to close the universities, to abolish the press, to kill the representatives of the people who refuse to be purified. Those are the ones from whom we must redeem the words of our beginning, because I need to speak about home. I need to speak about a living room where the land is not bullied and beaten into a tombstone. I need to speak about a living room where the talk will take place in my language. I need to speak about a living room where my children will grow with Laura. I need to speak about a living room where the men of my family between the ages of 6 and 65 are not marched into a roundup that leads to the grave. I need to talk about living room where I can sit without grief, without wailing aloud for my loved ones, where I must not ask, where is Abu Fadi? Because he will be there beside me. I need to talk about living room because I need to talk about home. I was born a black woman, and now I am become a Palestinian. Against the relentless laughter of evil, there is less and less living room. And where are my loved ones? It is time to make our way home. ...1998 midday Philadelphia haiku. Black men sleep homeless, freeze far away from Iraq. still sleeping, still men. And this is a poem I wrote in recognition of my complete incompetence in the end of the 20th and the beginning of the 21st century, technologically speaking. That's why I wrote this book called Technical Difficulties. And everybody said, oh, what an interesting title. I said, interesting. She tried living with me. It's a nightmare. Anyway, so this is my first computer poem. I do something. So it's called Poem Against the Temptations of Ambivalence. Quit, save, sign off, cancel. Are you sure? Are you sure? My dear Uchechi read some Tanka poems. I should do that too, because we all do the assignments. Meaning me too. Let me see if I can find them. Page 24. Here you go. These are, I think there are three. Yes, three Tankas. One, fallen on the street, black woman wrestling with air, bloody hair and teeth, no small change in her pockets, big change always pass her by. Two, el campesino stoops all day above the dirt, strawberry-ish, strange wages for sweat and strain, darkness cover him with rain. Three, what I need right now, after the rising water, what I need right now, after the pounding collapse, body surf, a new wave, fast. So we did everything we possibly could about affirmative action and 227. Everything we could think to do, we did, and everything unthinkable, we did. It was one long semester. And then this happened. And so I wrote this poem about this thing. Poem 5798, because after his huge dog attacked me and my Airedale, this huge man threatened me with his fist. Listen, he said, you people don't have affirmative action anymore, so go fuck yourself. As a matter of fact, I don't think I will fuck myself. No, I don't think so. You not really big. You not really strong. You just fat. You just dumb. You just ugly. Got more gun than brain. Got bullet cells galore and itchy fingers on a chainsaw like to cut me down. But I belong here, buddy boy. See what I'm saying? And me and my kind, we not going anywhere. You the one. Only one who got to disappear. I'll read three more. Four more poems. Okay. Three more poems. This is a love poem. I'm following in the tradition of Uchechi, who announces this is a love poem. Like, what else would they think? Unless they really retarded. That is a love poem. Yeah, you heard the girl. So here go another one, okay? This is called Study Number 2 for BBL. So you're gone, going away, gone, and I never thought I'd jump, and I never thought you'd deal, and now you're gone, going away, gone, gone, go, going away, gone. Oh well, oh well, oh well, and the last of the skies, and the last of my face inside your eyes, away, going away, away, baby, baby. What can I say? I disappear away, going away, gone from the tease me possibilities, from the going away, gone possibilities of your tongue, and I never thought I'd jump, and I never thought you'd deal, but now come back back here to my everything. I disappear without back here. Oh well oh, flying low down, slip, flow, skip, baby, baby, so you're gone. What can I, where can I, what without you? Why would I, what could I, what without you? You're what I, what would I do without you? So you're gone, going away, gone, and I don't care. I don't care you're gone. I don't care you're gone. I don't care. And now I need you back here. I need you back here. I need you here in my I need you back here in my everything. I disappear without you back here, going away, gone, so you're gone. Oh well, oh well, oh well, oh well, I need you back. This is a penultimate poem. Poem of commitment, and it's dedicated, it's April 98, dedicated to 3-year-old Antonino Guerra. Because cowards attack by committee, and others kill with bullets, while some numb by numbers, bleeding the body and the language of a child. And because, as far as I can tell, less than 1,000 flowers blooming means a putrid termination of night jasmine, randomly transporting into close caress proximity, and sometimes even more than that. Sometimes jasmine startles the entire sleeping world awake with lust for what can't be accounted for. And sometimes even more than that, 1,000 flowers wilted on a locked down classroom windowsill. And sometimes even more than that, the bleached, the monotone interposition of all regulations for the changing face fire. Who would behold the colorings of a cloud and legislate its shadows, legislate its shine, or confront a cataract of rain and seek to interdict its speed and suffocate its sound? Or disappear the trees behind a nomenclature no one knows by heart. Or count the syllables that invoke the mother of my tongue. Or say, the game goes the way of the wind, and the wind blows the way of the ones who make and break the rules. And because, as far as I can tell, less than 1,000 children, as particular, as dark, as pine needle earth at dusk, as pink as the pastel crenellations of a sea-struck shell, as brown as the spread wings of a starling, as Cantonese, Nigerian, Irish, as 1,000 words that violate the law, that violates a kiss beyond syntactical control, because, as far as I can tell, less than 1,000 children playing in the garden of 1,000 flowers means the broken neck of birds. I commit my body and my language to the sheltering of any Antonino, Tyrone, Valerie, Yunjiang, just about to choose her own names for the universe of family and strangers, still not listening to the good news of her voice. I conclude tonight with a poem called Kissing God Goodbye, and I wrote it in the face of Operation Rescue outside the home of the then living Dr. Elizabeth Ann Carlin. You mean to tell me on the 12th day or the 13th that word, which is to say some wise ass got more muscle than he reasonably can control or figure out, some accidental hard disk thunderbolt, some big mouth woman hating super heterosexist heterosexual kind of a guy, he decided who could live and who would die. And after he did what? Created alleyways of death and acid rain and infant mortality rates and sons of the gun and something called the kitchenette. Trailer trucks to kill and carry beautiful trees out of their natural habitat. Oh, not that guy. Was it that other guy who invented a snake, an apple, and a really retarded scenario so that down to this very day it is not a lot of fun to give birth to a son of a gun? And wasn't no woman in the picture of the Lord? He done the whole thing by himself. The oceans and the skies and the fish that swim and the bird that flies. Sure, he didn't have some serious problems of perspective. For example, coming up with mountains, valleys, rivers, rainbows, and no companionship, no coach, no midwife, boyfriend, girlfriend, no help whatsoever for a swollen, overactive brain unable to spell sex. You mean to tell me that the planet is the brainchild of a single male head of household? And everything he said into floods, famines, plagues, and pestilence, the invention of the slave and the invention of the gun, the worship of war, especially whichever war he won, and after everything he thought about and made 2 million mega pronouncements about, like, give not your strength to women, and you shall not lie with a male as with a woman, and an outsider shall not eat of a holy thing, and if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, but if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, and the leper who has the disease wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry, unclean, unclean, and behold, I have 2 daughters who have not known a man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please, and I will greatly multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain shall you bring forth children. And take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and there as a burnt offering. And in the middle of this lunatic lottery, there was Ruth saying to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if even death parts me from you. And David, wailing aloud at the death of Jonathan, who loved him more than his own soul. And David, inconsolable in lamentation, saying, very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And this chaos exploded tyrannical in scattershot scripture like, those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire and cast out the slave and her son. And if in spite of this you will not hearken to me, then you shall eat the flesh of your sons, you shall eat the flesh of your daughters, and I will destroy your high places. I will lay your cities waste. I will devastate your land. Those of you that are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a driven leaf shall put them to flight, etc., etc. That guy. The ruler of all earth and heaven too, the maker of all laws and all taboo, the absolute supremacist of power, the origin of the destiny of molecules and Mars, the father and the son, the king and the prince, the prophecy, the singer and the song, the man from whom, in whom, of whom, by whom, comes everything without the womb, without that unclean feminine connection. That guy? the emperor of poverty, the czar of suffering, the wizard of disease, the joker of morality, the pioneer of slavery, the priest of sexuality, the host of violence, the almighty fount of fear and trembling. That's the guy you tell me on the 12th day or the 13th that the Lord, which is to say, some wise ass got more muscle than he reasonably can control or figure out, some accidental hard disk thunderbolt, some big mouth woman hating super heterosexist heterosexual kind of a guy, he decided who could live and who would die. And so the names become the names of the dead and the living who love Peter, John, Phil, Larry, Bob, Alan, Richard, Tom, Wayne, David, Jonathan, Bruce, Mike, Steve, and so our names become the names of the dead and the living who love Suzanne, Amy, Elizabeth, Margaret, Trudy, Linda, Sarah, Alexis, Francis, Nancy, Ruth, Naomi, Julie, Katie, Trisha. And out of that scriptural scattershot, our names become the names of the dead. Our names become the names of the iniquitous, the names of the accursed, the names of the tribes of the abomination. Because my name is not Abraham. My name is not Moses, Leviticus, Solomon, Cain, or Abel. My name is not Matthew, Luke, Saul, or Paul. Mine is not Adam. My name is female. My name is freedom. My name is the one who lives outside the tent of the Father. My name is the one who is dark. My name is the one who fights for the end of the kingdom. My name is the one at home. My name is the one who bleeds. My name is the one with the womb. My name is female. My name is freedom. My name is the one the Bible dis. My name is the one astrology cannot predict. My name is the name the law cannot invalidate. My name is the one who loves. And that guy you never even seen up close. He cannot eat at my table. He cannot sleep in my bed. He cannot push me aside. He cannot make me commit or contemplate suicide. He cannot say my name without shame. He cannot say my name. My name is the name of the one who loves. And he has no dominion over me. His hate has no dominion over me. I am she who will be free. And that guy better not try to tell anybody about who should live and who should die or why. His name is not holy. He is not my Lord. He is not my people. His name is not sacred. His name is not my name. His name is not the name of those who love the living. His name is not the name of those who love the living and the dead. His name is not our name. We who survive the death of men and women whose beloved breath becomes at last our own.
Thank you.